Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
I've been talking about foundations and pillars of financial prosperity. And last time I began to talk about the power of skillful excellence as one of the pillars of financial prosperity. Again, I laid an emphasis on how important it is that we should get the foundation for financial prosperity right. Don't ever forget, even though we discuss the things that are outside, the things that are outward, the things that are inside, which are invisible, all right, are more important than these pillars, that is, the foundations. But now we are talking about the matter of this pillar, which I call the power of skillful what excellence. We have discussed the matter of using your gifts. And last time I ended by emphasizing the point that there is nobody that doesn't have work in life. God always opens a door by which you can be productive. I like one thing Oral Roberts was quoted to have said. He said, a miracle is heading towards you and going past you every day. That's just the way life is. A miracle is heading towards you and going past you every day. What was he saying in effect? The ability to recognize your miracle is what is important. Are you getting my point? Remember then, some time ago, I heard that message which we taught in the office, in which I discussed, open my eyes, O Lord, that what God did for Hagar when he was going to preserve the life of Hagar and her son Ishmael was to open her eyes to see the well that was provided. Even though by that time she had given up, all right, that this boy is going to die and she is going to die. But God said, look, there is a well that I have provided, and you drink from that well, and your life will head in the direction of the excellence or the greatness that I have proposed that this your son, okay, should have. So we're discussing that so that everybody has an opportunity. All you need to do is open your eyes. And I said, as you are using your gift and you are being productive, okay, one thing you must bear in mind is that God will elevate you, okay, using the skill which is pouring into your heart, which is pouring through you. And we read from the book of Daniel, and I think we should read it quickly again. The book of Daniel chapter 5. I quickly will just read that verse 11, in which the queen mother, trying to solve the problem that the king was having, said to him, that there's a man in your kingdom who can solve all these problems. And why? How will he be able to solve it? Or why? He said, because in him there is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of your father, illumination, these are the things that I found in Daniel, insight, wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. And he also said that, if you read verse 12, he said in him was found an extraordinary spirit, knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams and explanation of enigmas and the solving of difficult problems. Very important. I said this was what God did, all right, to elevate him. You see, if you read that Daniel chapter 1 again, which we read last time, we saw that when he was going to be elevated, the Bible says that what God gave to Daniel and to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who later on were named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego by the king, what God gave to them that elevated them was knowledge. That's Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. Intelligence in every form of literature and wisdom. And that even Daniel was able to understand visions and interpret dreams. And the Bible makes it clear that when they were tested, when the king spoke with them concerning anything, they were found to be 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And that was the reason why God elevated these people. Are you getting the point I'm making? It was not that the king looked at them and said, oh, the favor of God is upon you. No, the favor of God upon you is your personal problem. Like I always say, it's your personal problem. You don't walk up to your boss and say, look, listen, sir, I'm a child of God. Divine favor is upon me. If you put me in this business, your business will do well. You don't need to tell your boss that. Say that in your closet. What you say in the closet, God will bless it openly. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? All right, you don't go and harass the man with your spirituality, make him afraid of firing you, even though you are irresponsible and you cannot produce results. You go and say, hey, praise God, sir, I'm a child of God, I'm praying for this business. Listen, what I'm saying is very, very true. The prayer you are praying for the business is your personal problem. Do you understand my point? What your boss needs to know is that he can count on you. What your boss needs to know is that when there are difficult problems, you are the one you should call. You follow what I'm trying to explain. It is not that you say, oh, God, look, oh, I'm a blessed man working for this company. Believe me, God will just be pouring grace upon you. And then by the time it's 4 o'clock, he can't find you. You have gone to church. Do you know what I'm saying? When there are difficult issues, you say, we are doing conversion in our church, you have disappeared. When it comes to your table, you are there meditating and praying, and you're not doing your work. Listen, my friend, meditate and pray at home. It is not a sign of Christianity. That is just pure religion. You are trying to fool yourself and fool other people. Listen, when they wanted to find Daniel, all right, when people wanted to, of the people that Daniel was pulling all their urukuruku, you know something about urukuruku, all the choppings they were doing in government, when Daniel was pulling it, and they wanted to elevate this Daniel, when Darius was going to elevate this Daniel, they said, what are we going to do? We will never find anything wrong with him, but apart from the issue of his God, he was in his house where he was praying, that they caught him, not in the office. Do you know the point I'm trying to make? The office was not the place where he used to pray. The reason why the king was going to elevate him was not because of his prayer. The reason why he was going to elevate him was because he found out that there was no negligence. There was no problems that arose from the quarters of this Daniel. The king discovered that this guy, you put anything under his control, the thing will thrive. The Bible says clearly, he said, do you see a man who is skillful in his work? He said he will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. What God uses to elevate his people and to bless them materially, financial prosperity we're talking about now, from their work, all right, is the skill with which they do their things. Please, are you getting what I'm trying to explain? What God will give you is wisdom. Oh, what I'm saying is so important. If you apply your heart, all right, and you set your mind upon excellence. What I'm saying is very important. What you set your mind upon. A lot of people, when they start a business, they set their mind upon profit. And you know the verdict of God? God said, the man with an evil eye runs after profit, but does not understand that it is shortage that shall come upon him. Now I'm adapting that scripture. He says he runs after wealth, but does not know that poverty will come upon him. What should the child of God set his mind upon? Skill. One of the pillars of financial prosperity is that whatever it is that I'm doing, I put excellence into it. One thing you must never, ever tell somebody who's patronizing you is that manage it like that. Are you crazy? How can you tell somebody to manage something when you are supposed to have the ability to give him a perfect one? I read the story of Henry Ford. He said that was a product. It's not a Nigerian factor. It's all over the world. It's God that just allows people to be elevated who challenge other people. Henry Ford came to challenge other manufacturers of cars, dropping prices and improving quality. He was the one that began to give warranties. You know, these days, you buy a car standard in Nigeria now. 3-year warranty comes with it, or 100,000 kilometers. He said before, men will just make cars. As far as they're concerned, when you buy it, they have got you. Because you have to maintain it. The car will break down. They keep on collecting your money. Say, bam. I'm supposed to service you with this thing. Why should it break down? In fact, I take the responsibility to make sure it is well fixed if it breaks down. He began to open service centers everywhere. Things you see that are now common. He started a lot of those things. But the point I'm just making, all right, from all of this is this, all right, that what God will use to elevate you. I like what Henry Ford said when he was talking concerning his principles of doing business. Let me just quote him quickly. He said, I do not consider the machines which bear my name simply as machines. If that was all there was to it, I would do something else. I take them as concrete evidence of the working out of a theory of business, which I hope is something more than a theory of business. He said, a theory that looks towards making this world a better place in which to live. Is that the fact that the commercial success of the Ford Motor Company has been most unusual is important only because it serves to demonstrate in a way which no one can fail to understand that the theory to date is right. Please, are you getting the point I want to make here? That what did the man go out to do? That's the thing I'm explaining. And this is what I want to bring out. That's what God wants to do with your life also. One of the pillars of financial prosperity is that whatever it is that I'm doing, do you understand my point? Must be done as best as is possible. And please, stop making excuses. You know what I said? Stop making excuses. One day, a friend of mine, we were talking. He said, do you know this particular man? I was a musician then. So I said, he said, do you like his music? He used to play some instrumentals. I said, it's all right, it's all right. I said, but please, before we judge it. Okay, actually, his sister was with him, and she asked the question, and he was present. She asked me the question. All right, a Christian man. I said, his music is all right, but I wasn't so excited. I felt he was not very skilled in the instrument. So as soon as I said, and I said that, please, before I finish what I'm saying, bear in mind though, that I now mentioned a few other musicians who play instrumentals like that man, but it turned out that the two or three people I mentioned, all right, were Americans. I told my friend that, look, I listen to these people, and for me, the difference is too wide. I'm not so excited about the fact that the man is being celebrated. I don't know exactly what he's doing there. So that I've compared him to other people, and I don't think he's very good. And he said, wait. Those people, they have this kind of machine to use. He gave me all kinds of stories why the American man is better, okay, than the Nigerian. Well, I did not argue. Then one day I entered his own apartment, and I heard one instrumental being played by another Nigerian. And I stopped. Actually, it sounded so American, using my friend's criteria now. The only thing was that this guy was playing rhythm that I knew were local rhythms. Except one of the American boys came down. I don't know how this is possible. You understand what I'm saying? So I stopped. I asked the guy who was playing it. It was his friend that was playing it. He said, who is that? He showed me the album. And I saw one local guy. In fact, he took that picture, right, wearing local materials. And had a Nigerian name. And I wanted to call my friend and say, see, the problem was not which country they came from. It was that other man didn't have the skill. I'm saying, please, stop making excuses. The reason why I'm not so good is because NEPA fails. You start making excuses. You notice what they have, the latest sewing machine. You've forgotten that they were making these suits this well years ago, using the same machine that you are using now, and you are claiming is the reason why you can't do it well. I call all those things excuses for Satan. Just using this music thing. From this same Nigeria, Nigerians play until the American. I mean, Two-Face was playing with, who was it the other day? Is it R. Kelly? Nigerian musicians now play with American musicians. Because voice now voice, oh boy. Voice now voice. You stop making excuses. If you set your mind on excellence. I like what the Bishop Oyedepo used to say those days. He said, this is the only job I do. Talking about preaching. He said he made up his mind that from the beginning, that's the business man from the beginning of ministry, that should not happen in this life. That they say preachers are gathered and they don't know who he is, that he doesn't know that, because he said whether it's American or Nigerian makes no difference. And that God confirmed it in his life, there's no way he goes now where he's not honored. Why? Because he chose to put his skill into what he's doing. He decided to be original. It's nobody's copycat. Not copying anybody. What am I saying? Want to succeed in life? Want to prosper financially? Please, whatever it is that we are doing, the Bible says it like this. Do you see a man who is skillful in his business? He said he will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure people. I like what Henry Ford said, okay, about competitors. Then why do people fight competition? They think their competitor is their opponent. He said, no. The man has just been appointed by God, and I'm putting my own words to it now, to put you on your toes, to make you innovative. It's supposed to be a challenge to your own excellence. Listen, this is what I'm making there. If you see something that's done better than you can do it, okay, you go and find out how come people can do this thing better. Stop sitting down. Stop making excuses. It is because his father was able to send him to America that time. Listen to me. He didn't go to America to go and join a cult. He went to America to go and learn. Are you getting my point? And the books are also available. He go to Lagos. And for your information, there are times you need to spend your money and go to that same school. If that is what you are doing requires. And that's the point I wanted to even bring out next. That you must be ready to sow physical seeds into your skill. Quickly, open to Psalm 126. This thing won't just jump into your head by itself. It says, restore our captivity, verse 4. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams renew the desert. If you have the New Living Translation. And God said, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting, and he who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. Now, a lot of people will quote this scripture. what we say, or as preachers, is that, look, when we say, he that sows in tears, he that gives in tears shall reap, one day God shall bless the person. Now, that's applying this scripture, all right, using it, let me say, allegorically, all right, using it to just type spiritual things. But actually, the literal thing that he said here is this. If a man plants his seed onto the earth, all right, when God is about to pour forth a blessing, God pours rain upon what he's doing, and the person will go back and harvest plenty. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? But what he said something here, notice verse 5. He said, he that sows in tears, that when the person is sowing, when he's investing, okay, then the person is usually when he doesn't have plenty. There's a reason why I'm saying this. Because I call it sowing physical seeds. There are two kinds of seeds you sow, financially speaking. There are two kinds of seed. There's a spiritual seed, and then there is a material seed. The spiritual seed are the things you give to charity. You know what I mean by giving to charity? You give to the poor, you give to sponsor the work of the ministry and stuff like that. Things that don't directly benefit you personally, physically. That's what they call the work of charity. You give to somebody that God commands that you should honor. You give to somebody who has been a blessing to you. You give to somebody who doesn't have anybody to take care of them. Those are the things that the Bible calls charity. When Jesus said, give to charity. All right? Now, with that, you buy what? Treasure in heaven. That is what I call spiritual seed. But then, having sown spiritual seeds, very important, you must learn to sow what? Physical seeds. What do I mean by physical seeds? Let us assume you're a trader. You have a shop in the market. You begin to make money. You know what most foolish people do? All right? Most of us were like that. We quickly buy a car. Do you understand my point? You want to show everybody that, yes, I'm now making money. He has forgotten that in that row in the market, there are 50 people, and he's just one out of 50. His shop is identical to the next one. There's no difference in them. All of them have rough floors. He has rough floors. You know what he's doing, what he's prophesying? That I will be like all these other people over the next 20 years. All of us good day here. A skilled person says, no. No, be person be Walmart. You know what I'm saying? Somebody started Walmart. A skilled person will look and say, what about Sears? These are international superstars. Now, he said, those are people. And then, it's not, listen, let me tell you something about contentment. Contentment does not mean you don't aspire for great things. Are you getting my point? It just means, like one of my friends will say, knowing your current place and living like you are there. Do you understand my point? That is, if you have great dreams for yourself, you have a small shop, you know it's not time to buy a big car. Even though if you skim all your profits in a year, you'll be able to pay for it, but it's not time. One of my friends told me the other day, he said, Pastor, I think I should go and buy a motorbike. I said, I think you should. He said, there was a time he was thinking of buying one. I said, I think you should. People will say, you are bigger than this. It doesn't matter. It's to move you around. Buy a very good crash helmet. Parts for your elbows and your knees, so that in case you fall down, you will rise up again, like the Bible says. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? Yes, this will cost you less than maybe 80,000 naira, but then you can move around. Then the money, the 1 million you will have invested into a car, you invest it into your business. That's what he meant when he said, "Those who sow in tears." Listen, God expects that whatever you are doing in life must grow, and I can prove it when Jesus told the parable of the talent and of the minas. You see the way the master responded, Luke chapter 19. He gave one man one, and gave another one one, another one one. One of them came and said, I have increased mine tenfold. He said, good and faithful servant, well done. The only one that was content with bearing it, you see the kind of punishment where they give him. Are you getting my point? God expects that you have a dream that whatever it is you are doing in life should increase. One of the things that makes me glad every day, all right, personally, this is just my own personal issue, is that I know how I started Kingdom Word Ministries. It was by printing tracts, paper, and sharing it out to people. That was all we did. My wife and I would sit down, well, just me and her at that time, living alone. We fold tracts, literally together we folded, because it was a special way we folded our tracts to make it look like a book when you are reading it, okay? Literally, we folded tens of thousands. I'm not exaggerating about that. My wife folded tracts until her fingers began to ache. That was all we did. Then there was a time we began to teach the word every week in the office. There was a time it increased to twice a week. Then there was a time it went on radio. The example went on TV, website, that is every time something is increasing. I'm not satisfied until the time will come where it will be live streaming of the teachings I hold on Saturdays worldwide. Anybody can log on from anywhere. They say, oh, Pastor Bank is about to start teaching, and he logs on. If I've blessed 1,000, what's wrong with blessing 10,000 people? And maybe I've blessed 10,000 already. What's wrong with 100,000? Derek Prince was being aired on shortwave, covering half of the globe every day. That is, billions of people who were interested had access to his messages. And let me tell you something, that's ministry. And I can give that as an example because I'm a preacher. Are you getting my point? But the fact is that it applies to every other part of life. People easily settle. They just settle in one corner. I'm selling here. I have made this. I've been here for the last 20 years. Look at my Tokumbo card there. I have one house in the village. They gave him one talent. He had just increased to 1.5. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he's satisfied because all the other people buried their own. So he's comparing himself with those who buried their talents. If he would have looked into the heart of God and said, God, what was I supposed to be? God said, that talent, by the time you get back up here, I want you to count 1,000 for me. Do you understand my point? Listen, that's why, don't be content. They are promoted to a particular level at work. So you now have money, you have a car, you have wife, you can pay children's school fees, you're just happy. You're about to get sacked. And the day they fire you is a spiritual lesson. The Bible says that the contentment, that is the complacency of fools, destroys them. If you see that, that's Proverbs chapter 1. King James will use the word the prosperity. Yes, the word prosperity and complacency in that particular context, they are saying the same thing. That is the complacency instigated by the prosperity that a fool has. Says, soul, you have much good laid up for the future. Rest. Take your rest. Enjoy yourself. What am I saying? A real believer who wants to prosper in life? No. He always schemes for increase. Are you getting my point? And listen to me, this is what I'm preaching. I'm talking about sowing physical seeds. It costs him out of what he has currently. His friends are flying all over the world, going on holidays. He said, look, this life, I didn't come to fly everywhere. Are you getting my point? I will fly when the time comes. I will go for holidays. But currently, we built this business. We are blessing only 10,000 people, and we have only 500 employees. Or maybe we have only 50 employees. There are no jobs around. People always say, we can create more jobs. Are you getting my point? So out of the money he should have used to enjoy himself and buy the tall cars and fly all over the world like his friends are doing, he invests his further. It's called sowing in tears. You know, a lot of people who want, maybe like you work in a bank, you work in one of these big multinationals, you want to go and do MBA for promotion's sake. You go for a master's in this, all of it, so that you can file for promotion when you are looking for a job. And they give you another level, maybe before you are an assistant manager, they make you a deputy manager. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing if your intention is right, okay? Most people don't have good intentions anyway, but it's not a bad thing. Is that okay? But what I want to say is this. You know, very few people who work for themselves ever bother doing that. Very few. And that's why I don't believe in going to school just for certificate. If you're not going to learn anything, don't bother. And if you have to learn something, whether you have a certificate to show for it or not, whether somebody will reward you with promotion or not, then go and learn it for goodness sake. Even though it will cost you money, go and learn it. Do you understand the point I'm making? I was talking to somebody many years ago. He said that he has noticed that most places he goes, you know, he goes for programs, shows and all of that, that his sound is not very good. So he was saving his own personal money. He was hoping to gather enough money so as to go abroad and go and learn sound engineering. Because there was no place in Nigeria that was being offered as a course. He wasn't planning to look for a job. He just wanted to learn how to do it so that when he comes back, he'll start doing it. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? I mean, you have been baking for years. It is the same chin-chin, the same meat pie, the same cake, the same thing. And you go around, you see, you don't even ask yourself questions. Why don't you gather your money? You've been making money. All you have been doing is buying gold. You get my point? Buying cloth. All your friends are doing wedding every weekend. Is your name Ebi? Why must you wear Ashebi? Is it every time? You always owing money. That's something that annoys me when people are always owing money on cloth that they want to wear. If you can't pay for it, there are cheaper ones out there. Do you understand my point? Why do you let people put you under pressure? You have not built your business. You are using money to pay small, small because you want to go for one wedding. And all your mates. Is it this all my mates thing? Is the reason why some people will never prosper in life? Believe me, you don't have mates in life. You know, I keep on saying that thing. You don't have. All my mates are driving this kind of car. Listen to me. Some of your age mates can afford it. If you can't afford it, forget it. The only people who are mates in that regard are those who can afford it. If you're not one of them, don't fool yourself. What am I trying to explain? The skill that you are exercising, the business that you are doing, it is very crucial, right? That you take your own money and invest it into improving it. Not just in expanding and renting more shops and expanding your business, but into mental improvement. I mean, take a leap. If you can afford it, go somewhere. If you have to go abroad, there's a skill that helps you in this business. Go abroad and go and learn it and come back. That's what is called sowing in tears. One of my pillars, all right, of financial prosperity is that willingness to take material things, all right, money, to invest in yourself and invest in that which is your skill. Very crucial. That's the only way why you'll be outstanding. That's the only reason why you'll be outstanding in life. And I always tell business people, I say, wait. Let's ask ourselves a question. You are an AC technician, as an example. And maybe one part of Enugu where you are, there are 10 of you. Ask yourself one single question. Why should people come to me and not go somewhere else? Listen, if you every day ask that question, you will prosper materially in life. You understand what I'm saying? What is the general thing? What is the general kind of service they get everywhere? Do you understand my point? How can I go a step beyond that which everybody is giving? Maybe a man's AC has a fault. Everybody goes, repairs, and collects 2,000 naira and they walk away. You go, you repair, you also collect 2,000 naira. But you remember in 3 days to call and say, is it still working well? That may be all that you do. And if it says, I'm coming to come and check. And you go there and check and confirm that it is working well before your soul finally relaxes concerning that job. A man repaired a freezer for me years ago. After some time, I called him. I said, this thing is not working. He said, oh, guy, you know, see that Tokumba, where we buy a foot? We know if you return them, that this is your loss, not mine. I looked at him. If I give you a check and it bounces, and I say, you know that check I've given you, I've already given you, will you like it? I'm bringing out some issues. These are the little things you ask yourself. And look, that's why, did you know how many car manufacturers have come in this world? And they have disappeared. Some are still there. And some are still dying currently because they forgot the things that made them stand in previous times. There are things that people do. Listen to me. When you see things collapsing on the earth, God knows what he's doing. He knows the kind of judgment he's putting into them. Some of them is punishing them because he has told them to improve and they have refused to improve. Please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense. That's what I call the principle of what? Sowing in tears. Sowing physical seeds into what it is that you are doing. My time is up. Let's just leave that one there. I hope you've gotten my point.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or P.O. Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.